Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. David Aldridge is a journalist, a columnist for The Athletic. He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. An incredibly accomplished person, born, raised, resides in Washington, D.C. Understands both through his professional career and also in his personal life what the Redskins football team Commanders mean to this city. And David Aldridge joins us now. D.A., what's up,
buddy? What up, Dave?
Gentlemen, what's happening? How are you?
We're good, brother. We're good, man.
You are of this city, sir. And B and yep. I were talking this morning about everything going on with RFK. And we could talk about the draft and stuff, too. But I feel like the RFK conversation could be long and broad. So I'd rather just give it plenty of space. We were talking, and you texted us, like, let's talk about this. So I saw you Monday at the events and the rollout for this thing. And where are you at? How do you feel?
Well, look, let's get the obvious things on the table first. We all are in the sports world, right? All of us are involved in sports. We yep. either played it or we cover it or whatever. So we're all invested in the Commanders being in D.C., right? Like, mm-hmm. we all want that. Everybody wants that. I want it too. You know, and I have no problem saying that out front. I'd much rather drive up to the RFK site than drive out to Landover 10 or 12 times a year. It's closer for me. It's easier for me. There's a traffic question, which we can get to later on. But, you know, so we all want that. But I think it is To automatically think that people who have questions are like hating and are trying to be in or grandstanding or not, don't I think is a little unfair. And I've gotten some of that from people because I've written about this the last couple of days, who are saying that you're complaining about it or that you don't want this to happen or that you're standing in the way and what else has been there for the last 30 years. All of that aside, all of that, you can say all that, but I don't think you can just dismiss questions that people have about what is a massive public works project. Like, it's mm-hmm. not, you're not building a Starbucks, okay? Like, it's not a Starbucks on the corner. It's 180 acres of land in the middle of a city. So there are questions, and people have the right to ask those questions while you still want the project to happen. Mm-hmm. And I still want the project to happen. But there are questions, and I think part of what I believe the role of a journalist is, and that's what I think I should be doing, is asking people like the mayor and Josh Harris, what are you going to do about the people that live in that neighborhood? You know, like, those are people, and their lives are going to be turned upside down if you drop a 65,000-seat stadium and a $3 billion development in the middle of their neighborhood. Ain't no neighborhoods around the wharf, fellas. Ain't no neighborhoods there. You right. know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So that's different. You can drop $2 billion in the wharf. You know, that's okay. There's nobody lives there. There's not a large population of people living in that part of D.C. There's some people live there. I used to live there myself. Lived there when I got out of college for several years. Liked it. There wasn't anything to buy. But there's not a whole bunch of neighborhoods right where the wharf is. There's a whole bunch of neighborhoods right where RFK is. So there are questions that have to be answered. And that's all I'm saying. And it's okay to want it. I want it too. Mm-hmm. But there are questions. And to say that there aren't any questions is not accurate.
But I understand that there are questions, Dave. But you know what? It's also some answers that are there that people will automatically ignore. So I understand, like, you know, I don't live there. But I used to go to the stadium all the time. And many people that were there before, they didn't have a problem with it. Now you got a lot of people that have moved in that are not from D.C. Mm-hmm. They've changed up the amount of what a house may cost there.
For sure.
But I still go back to that the permission to the city. If Congress voted 100-0, mm-hmm. and they specified as that first project stadium, it's something about that to me that I'm not letting go, because I believe if they did it, they made a deal with someone, and I believe it's going to be enforced upon if it doesn't happen the other way.
Well, I agree with you in a sense. I do agree with you that there's no way that you would get Republican congressmen to sign off on something to empower the district government, because they can't stand the district government. If there wasn't some hoped upon quid pro quo in place, right? Like, mm-hmm. I get that. That's certainly the case. Now, what that is, we don't know. Like, is that you want to name something after somebody? All right, you know, like. We can talk about that. You may not want to do it, but to get the thing done, you may have to do it, right? Okay. All right. Those are things. But to me, it's like whatever Congress wants to do, or whatever reasoning Congress had to give the land back to D.C., it doesn't really matter, because now the land is in D.C.'s hands and they can do what they want to do with it. And they still have to answer, again, the issues that people are bringing up, whether it's the amount of money that DC's putting into it, or the services or the things like that. It's not hating to say, wait a minute, you got to hold these people accountable for the promises they're making. Mm-hmm. You know, I just came back from Detroit. I was in Detroit last week for the Pistons-Knicks playoff game. And I was at the Little Caesars Arena there. It was a really nice building. It's been there for the last 7 or 8 years, where the Pistons play now. And so all the four major sports teams all play within half a mile of each other. You guys have been there. You know, yep. Ford Field is there, and Comerica Park's across the street from Ford Field. And then right up the road from that is Little Caesars Arena, where the Pistons and the Red Wings play. And so on game nights, it's great. It's great. It's, you know, 200 nights a year minimum between the baseball and the basketball and the hockey and the football. It's 200 nights a year, or 200 days a year, where there's something going on at one of those arenas, right? One of those three buildings, mm-hmm. something's going on. And it's great. You know, there's people in downtown, and they're spending money and all that sort of thing. But there's nothing else there. There's nothing else there. And part of what they promised the people of Detroit was, we're going to have all these jobs, we're going to have all these houses, we're going to have all this entertainment district here, and this place is going to pay for itself. And it ain't there. It's not there. And so, you know, and it's been several years since Little Caesars Arena opened. And it's been several years since Ford Field opened. It's been several years since Comerica Park opened. And them people ain't gotten the jobs or the housing they were promised. And so all I'm saying is,
well, DA, just
you have to make sure that people live up to the promises that they say they're going to keep. That's all.
I agree with that.
I agree with
wholeheartedly.
That.
And here's what I've tried to tell people that have acted like I'm not willing. Certainly there's questions, and there are politicians that are actually interested in getting to a better deal. They're doing their job. I think some of them aren't interested in that. They're just interested in saying no. But I hear you on the Detroit thing. I think Detroit's got its own unique situation. Wouldn't you say that Nats Park is a tremendous success for the city, and they paid all the money to build that thing? It wasn't a large private investment.
And that's why I hold the Lerner family accountable for every move that they make because they got a stadium for free. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's why I say, okay, what are you doing to make this team better to win championships when the city paid for your stadium? And that's why I say that all the time when I write about the Nats. What are you doing? You got a stadium for free. Okay. Right. So that is exactly right. You know, and Nats Park certainly was a catalyst in that redevelopment. It was not the only catalyst. As I try to point out to people, Homeland Security being there was a much bigger catalyst because they got 10,000 people in that building every day. Okay, 365, 24/7. There's 10,000 people in Homeland Security and the surrounding parts of that organization out there. So that was part of it too, you know. So that all of that, they work together. It's good to have synergy, right? And so that's why it's great, and I think it's you know, you have to have more than just a stadium at RFK. So if they're building out, you know, businesses and all that sort of thing and restaurants and hotels, good, because you have to have more troughs. You have to have more buckets than just the stadium's going to be open. Mm-hmm. You know, the stadium, they're going to be events at the stadium. By the way, ain't no way there's going to be 200 events a year at the stadium. That's a pipe dream. That's
so I don't know how that number got twisted, because, I mean, you and I were at the breakfast. They said 20 to 30 major events.
Well, they said up to 200. It's but in the paperwork.
I think that must
200.
Be.
It must be.
When they have a kids.
They're talking about the, I think they're talking about the kids events when they have the thing over there for the kids and all that. That in that area,
okay, but that ain't in the stadium. That's not drawing no revenue, B. That's what I'm talking about. Like, you got, that's what I'm talking about. You got to hold people accountable to what they said. And they said, we plan to have, our goal is to have up to 200 events a year at this complex. Now, if there's another part of the complex they're going to have these events at, they need to be
they need to specify that. But I tell you, like, when I did 7-on-7 over there, it was 80 mm-hmm. teams, okay?
Yeah,
and that was one event,
right? Yeah, yeah.
And you may have a lot of that stuff because the fields are not going anywhere.
Right. I get it. Now, if they're going to do another, if they're going to do more events over at the fields, and they're building this $89 million facility for cheerleaders and for indoor track and for volleyball and all those places where the kids don't have anywhere else to go, they have to go out into Maryland, Virginia to compete. That's great. And that will help as well, because that will bring more people into that part of town. And maybe they go to the, while their kids are at the event, or they're getting ready for the event, maybe they go get something to eat.
Well, and DA, one thing I'm thinking about, and this would not, to the people that this matters to, they would say it's a major event. And this matters to you. This is mm-hmm. something near and dear to your heart. Yep. But the WCAC, the Washington Catholic Area Conference, they play their football championship every year in Annapolis. Right. God bless Navy Stadium, but bang. Like, that's at whatever RFK becomes. Like,
sure,
I think there's a lot of – you're not getting 50,000 people to all of these things, but if you played – last year, I just looked it up. Last year, the championship in the WCAC was DeMatha Good Counsel.
Right.
You're getting 8,000, 11,000 people down there.
I'm not – it's not about how many people you get there. You can get 40,000. Whatever the number is, this is the number. It's okay. It's okay if it's 8,000, by the way. I'm not saying you have to sell it out. I'm not saying that. You want to count that as an event? Great. That's fine. I'm not – there's only 4 months to the football season.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the football games, most of those football weekends are going to be Commanders weekends or major college football. Army-Navy games are going to be there? Great. That would be awesome. Be awesome if you had the Army-Navy game there. But you only have – 16 Saturdays or Sundays to play football during the football season. And half of those are going to be Commanders games. So you're only talking about 8 to 10 additional football games. It's just, all I'm saying is it's not going to be anywhere close to 200. Okay.
And that number of 200, I don't agree with that number of 200 in the actual stadium. I don't think any stadium does 200 events a year.
How many events do they have in Jerry World? It's not 200. I'm telling you, like, maybe
it might
140.
Be 200
maybe,
in the whole complex, but it won't be 200 in that one stadium.
Right. That's all I'm saying.
I'm with you there. Look, here's where I land. I've been pretty clear that I'm a supporter of this, right?
Yeah, me too. I want it to happen too, guys.
I think are there questions? Absolutely. Are there good people with the right Like, I think this D.C. Councilor Parker, I thought he tweeted something out that he's, like, not quite a yes yet, but supports it and recognizes that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to rebuild this thing, but has some questions that he wants to walk through. Like, I think that is an entirely reasonable stance, right?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And I think reasonable people can hear each other, listen to each other, and try to move forward towards something.
I
think there's a lot of people that aren't being reasonable, probably on both sides, but certainly on the opposition side.
Well, I mean, I would say this. Look, Councilman Parker is Ward 5. That's where I grew up, Northeast D.C. So I know exactly. You know, that I know that ward because I grew up in that ward, all right? And he literally said, here are the things I need to get to yes. I need this, this, and this. And if you give me these three things, I say, I'll vote yes. I can support this. He literally tweeted it out.
Yeah.
So he didn't say no. He said, here's what I need, right?
Yeah.
Mendelson has not said, I will absolutely not support this under any circumstances. What he said was, the mayor needed to come to us first. She didn't come to us. She needs to be more transparent. I can't okay $1 billion. He didn't say, I can't okay no dollars. He said, I can't okay $1 billion. Right. So there's a number. Find out what the number is. All right. And so that is negotiating. That's making the deal better. Just like Linda Kropp made the Nats Park deal better by being a no until that money, the amount of money that MLB put toward the project went up and the amount of money that DC put toward the project went down. And that's what they're there for, is to make the deal better. That's what McDuffie said the other day. I'm going to try to make this deal better for the people in DC. You know, because again, look, I understand that Josh Harris does not have to solve the problems of a city. I'm not saying that that's his job. But what I'm saying is if you live in Ward 7, they have two grocery stores in the entire ward,
right?
Two. And Ward 8 has one, okay? And Ward 3, where the rich folks live in this town, and it's okay to be rich. It's fine to be rich. I'm happy you're rich. They got 11, okay? So those are the types of things. If you live in Ward 7, you're like, well, wait a minute. Why are we putting all this money toward a stadium that I can't afford to get into, right, that I can't buy a ticket for because it's personal seat licenses? No way I can get in the stadium. And, okay, maybe I can go to the restaurant down the street and eat, you know, but I live in Ward 7. You know,
but
they don't make the money that you make in Ward 3. So all I'm saying, guys, is that it's not disingenuous for somebody who lives in Ward 7 or Ward 8 to say, wait a minute, maybe there's other things we can spend this public money on than helping the Commanders build a stadium. That's not disingenuous for them to have that position.
I don't think it's disingenuous, but then I would ask the question, where the hell have those people been spending this money before all this? I mean, they've had money to spend. And if they want to build it up, they would have. So I ask those questions too. Like
okay, but,
I hear
but
a lot
B,
of talk
you know
about
this.
Some, but I'm okay, saying but like someone
right,
is coming ahead, to do ahead. Something now,
right?
And
okay.
Now we say, well, we could do this, this, and this. Why not? Why haven't it been done?
Okay, but again, Brian, the people who live in Ward 7, Ward 8 don't have the political clout that the people who live in Ward 3 have. That's just reality.
DA, I hear
like,
that, but with,
you know
within
like,
six blocks of our office. There's a Harris Teeter and a Whole Foods. And none of that stuff was here before Nats Park.
Y'all are down at the Navy Yard.
None of that was here before Nats Park.
But they, I understand that. But it wasn't just Nats Park. And where they built the wharf out, there's no people there. There's no neighborhood where they built the wharf. It's a wharf. It's not populated, surrounded by people who live in houses and apartments. Okay, there's no people there. It's easy to drop $2 billion where there's no people.
But
okay?
I specific to the grocery store thing, if they're building, like, I mean, the current plans, and obviously these plans will get updated and changed, but the current plans call for a ton of housing. They're going to, don't you? The way this stuff goes is it's mixed-use retail. It's a grocery store on the first floor with apartments above it. Like, I think that will be a boon to the people that live there.
Again,
I just think as this pushes further east, maybe that will help Ward 8 also.
It could. I'm not saying it couldn't. What I'm saying is, again, this is why I keep going back to the Detroit example. They made the exact same promises in Detroit. They said, we're going to have housing, and a good chunk of it is going to be affordable housing for people who make a certain percentage or lower of the average salary of Detroit. Now, I'm not accusing the people of D.C. of this, but what they did in Detroit was, part of how they determined what the average salary of the people was by including the rich suburbs right outside the city. You have real well-to-do suburbs where people are making a lot more money. You add that into the mix, and all of a sudden the average salary goes way up.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So what I'm saying is that that's part of holding people accountable, guys. That's why I'm saying I'm for this deal. But you have to hold people accountable. To your point, JP, they said 5,000 to 6,000 houses and affordable housing, 30% of which is going to be affordable housing. You have to make sure that they actually do that.
Sure.
Right? And so that's why I'm like, that's where I need to see the details. How are you going to enforce this? How are you going to make sure that you do what you say you're going to do? That's not hating. That is trying to get people to live up to the promises that they're making on this. That's all.
Yeah. DA, it's a great conversation.
I agree with that.
Thank you for reaching out. And, dude, accountability is key, obviously.
On both sides.
Yes. Yeah. And again, I want there to be a Commander Stadium on the RFK footprint. Want it very badly. Just for selfish purposes alone, for my own purposes, it will be a lot easier for me.
Okay. Thank you, D.A.
All right, brother.
Appreciate you, man.
All right, guys. Yep.
That's our guy, David Aldridge. Give him a follow at David Aldridge, D.C. I wanted to have that conversation. I feel like those are the appropriate types of conversations to actually move this thing forward, to continue onward. Now, when we return, we're actually going to talk some puck. Steve Wino's not going to blow us off like Rooster did. Game 5 preview. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. If you missed any of our conversation with David Aldridge from The Athletic, check out the podcast, get on the Odyssey app, whatever you need to do. It was a worthwhile conversation. There are certainly real and good questions to be asked as hopefully everything moves forward. Right now, though, time to talk some puck. Caps face off a little more than 6 hours away. We're going to be in the building. B is seriously rocking the red. Steve Wino joins us now. Wineasy, are you already at Cap One? Where are you at?
No, I'm still at the JP at the Capitals practice rink, finishing some work up here, and we heading downtown in a little bit.
What is the
game of seven? Right?
Yeah.
All right.
What is the player's schedule on a game day like today?
It's essentially, the morning skate is optional, but every player comes to the rink somewhere in the 8 o'clock range. There's meetings before a skate. Morning skate, you really only last 15 minutes, maybe a half an hour. Most guys will go home and get a pregame nap in, and players tend to arrive for a 7 o'clock game somewhere in the 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock range. Guys who aren't playing tonight might be a little bit later than that, but generally it's a pregame nap, some food to get in there, and then arrive to the rink, play sewer ball, whatever it is, to sort of stretch and get ready, and then warm ups at 6:30.
That's crazy, man. As this thing gets closer, obviously the biggest news is Protas maybe returning tonight. What can you tell us about that situation?
I would be stunned if Alexi Protas does not play tonight. He looks so ready to go. Nothing absolutely confirmed from the Capitals, but he came off the ice fairly early today. Taylor Radish stayed on for an extra period of time. I'd expect Alexi Protas to play and Taylor Radish to come out of the lineup tonight. 30-goal scorer, just a guy who helps them so much 5-on-5 and also one of their top penalty killers. Just a huge addition to get in the middle of a first round.
Absolutely. What? So the injury, hockey, they don't tell you anything about anything, right?
Upper or lower, Jay? Upper or lower.
Upper or lower. We know it was lower. He got sliced open on his foot. What exactly was it?
So it was during the Blackhawks game, the night that Alex Ovechkin tied Wayne Gretzky's record, and it was just a fluke play in front of the Blackhawks net where one of the Blackhawks players came by and the skate just clipped Protas on the top of his left foot. And I'm pretty sure, and I will be corrected if I'm wrong on this, that he does wear the sort of cut-resistant material, the socks that help against this, which shows you how bad the cut was to then have surgery and be in a boot and be out for the last 3.5 weeks. It sliced a tendon, I believe, in that left foot. And you have to expect the Canadians are going to be slashing the heck out of that thing tonight and throughout the rest of this series, the rest of the playoffs. But a really bad skate cut. And we always talk about in the sport, like, we had the tragedy with Adam Johnson, the kid from Minnesota who died in England last year when he got a skate cut to the neck. But you're running around, you're going at high speeds with knives on your feet, and it's amazing, unbelievable. It doesn't happen more often.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a pretty bad skate cut.
That's the question I was going to ask. Like, that happened. How often does that happen?
It's amazing that you don't have more damage. But, like, we had this Erik Karlsson, the three-time best defenseman in the NHL, was stepped on and had his Achilles torn about a decade ago.
Yeah,
and for a long time wasn't the same. The guys have gotten to be wear more of, specifically, not necessarily the neck guard, which is a sort of a controversial topic right now in terms of mandating it. It's being mandated at lower levels and for kids, that sort of thing. But they've gotten better at wearing the wrist guards and the Achilles foot and sock sort of Kevlar cut resistant stuff, because it's amazing that even in the corner that, like, somebody doesn't get sliced with something fairly regularly.
Yeah,
this is crazy. I just Googled this neck guard thing. That's a wild look, but I guess it makes sense, man. You're right. Your description was so cool. It was, these guys are flying around at high speeds with knives on their feet. It's a miracle more guys aren't slashed up. I mean, you're correct. This neck guard looks nuts. Nobody's gonna be wearing that tonight, I assume. Obviously, Caps are up 3-1 in this series, but it's been closer than that, I would say. There's been some games that look like kind of blowouts, but because of late empty net goals and stuff. What do you think happens tonight?
I do think the Capitals are going to win tonight, and really the game's going to be decided, or I think the way this game goes, within the first 10 to 15 minutes, because you can't fake urgency like a team facing elimination. It just doesn't exist. And when you're in a playoff series like this where one team is and one team isn't, you know the Canadians are going to have a push. You know they're going to come out, because they don't win this game, their season's over, and they're on the golf course in 3 days.
Mm.
So I think if the Canadians are able to score early, this is not necessarily a team, because most of these guys weren't around for 2010 or some of these other series, just Tom Wilson and John Carlson and Alex Ovechkin. But this fan base is scarred by only 32 teams in NHL history have ever blown a 3-1 playoff lead. Five of them are the Capitals. So I think if the Canadians go up early, the crowd is going to have a nervous energy to it that we've seen this in past playoffs. It filters down to the ice and to the players and to the bench. It really does. And I think if the Capitals are able to sort of resist that early push and get on the board early, Montreal's starting its backup goalie again with Sam Montembeau-Hertz, so Jakub Dobish is playing again. I think if the Capitals are able to sort of resist that initial wave of energy and not give up an early goal, I think they're going to be okay. But this is we've seen this. You're right, JP, that this has been a tighter series than 3-1. But so was last year against the Rangers. Like the Capitals didn't get blown out of the building by the Rangers any single one game, but they did lose all four in a row because one team was just better. And I think ultimately, and I could be wrong about this, and maybe we're having a conversation about a game seven later this week, I just think the Capitals are the better team in the series.
I agree with you. I think, you know, Montreal is kind of annoying, but like Washington's better. I got great concerns about the next series, but I think they closed it out tonight. What do you think the atmosphere will be like in there? Pretty darn cool, I think.
It's gonna be juiced up, guys. It's a Wednesday night now. Whatever today is. But there's been time off. The Capitals go to Montreal, and it's not a 2-2 series where they're sort of the nerves of, are they going to move on? Like, yes, they still need to win the fourth game, win a fourth game in the series to win it. But I think it's not necessarily, I don't want to say a party atmosphere like 894 was, where it's a celebration of Alex Ovechkin.
Sure.
But this is a team, this is a crowd that's ready to watch the Capitals move on, which they have not done at home in a decade. It was the 2015 Islanders series, the last time the Capitals clinched a playoff series at home.
Wow.
That's ridiculous.
So wow.
It's been a long time since this fan base has been able to celebrate, to see a handshake line in a positive way for the Capitals.
Yeah, that's crazy. All the big moments are on the road. One word answer on this. You were there all day Monday covering all the RFK Stadium stuff for the Associated Press. Does it get done? Does the stadium get built?
Yes.
There you have it. His name is Steve Wino. You can give him a follow at S Wino. Thank you, buddy. See you in a little
bit. Hi, Steve.
Talk to you soon.
That's our guy, Steve Wino. Does a great job, covers all things hockey and all sports here in D.C. When we come back, White Brian may or may not be getting his head shaved. Don't go anywhere.
Could be.
Big game tonight. We're going to make predictions here in a moment. But there was a legit big college basketball story that happened, I think, overnight, last night, maybe today. Five-star guard, this kid named Darius Adams, B. Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
True, legit stud. Five-star kid out of Indiana was committed to UConn, all right?
Mm-hmm.
UConn's pretty darn good. He signed a letter of intent with UConn in November. But
these that got him it today?
These are wild times in college hoops. In the time since this kid coming out of high school signed his letter of intent, UConn brought in two transfer portal guards. So this kid said, all right, well, this is shady. I don't get to play anymore. So he reopened his commitment.
Yeah.
You know where he signed?
Maryland.
Maryland. Buzz is buzzing.
There you go.
Yo.
But, I mean, listen, bro, if the atmosphere is going to be what it is, you got to work.
And the cash. I don't know what the cash is, but I bet it's a lot.
I mean, yeah, I understand the cash is there, but you know what? You can't sit back and just expect or automatically say, oh, we're not going to get anybody. No, you got to fight for it.
Yeah, man. Dude, so this kid was also looking at Georgetown, Michigan State, Bama, Carolina, and Tennessee. So he had real options. He visited College Park and Georgetown, picked Maryland. Done deal. White Brian, you're the college basketball insider. This kid's legit, right? This is a big deal.
Yeah, if he was planning on going to UConn, he's got to be pretty good.
Yeah. I know you prefer your college basketball players to be 30 and have a receding hairline. This fellow looks very young. So I'm excited about that. Congrats to Buzz Williams. Here's what I'm focused on.
What are you trying to say, B?
Just supporting Buzz Williams. Leville, we got to make some bets, I think.
Uh-huh.
I think everyone but me lost.
You think? You need to know if you won if everybody lost.
Well, I was stressing about possibly getting my hair cut, so I forgot to tally the results.
I took the Leafs.
So you were really
stressing? What do you mean possibly getting your hair cut? Can we cut your hair or not?
I think we should.
No.
I think we should just do it without him giving us permission.
I don't think we could do that.
Yes, we can. What are you going to do?
Listen, tomorrow...
We don't have no damn HR here.
That's true. Tomorrow, B-Mitch and I are going to be at the Rude employee party, right? We're going to be at the Rude barbecue. T-Stats, baby.
Yeah, baby.
But we'll be back Friday. Mike Beasley is coming in.
He's bringing something special?
He is bringing something special. Bees is coming in Friday afternoon. White Brian, Bees legitimately was a barber when he was younger. Can Bees cut your hair?
Sure.
Yeah.
He might let you get a 20-cent bet.
So we got a live haircut Friday afternoon.
There we go.
Are you confirming this? White Brian.
Yeah, if he used to be a barber, sure.
If he used to be a barber, sure. Brian, we got to work on you, bro.
So hold on. You wouldn't let me shape your beard up, bro?
His beard up, bro?
Bro, I do a better job than Bees.
Listen.
I cut my face every week.
I said it on the radio,
week.
So it must be true.
Bees used to be
a barber. I know he used to work on cruise ships.
He about to look like me and B, Mitch.
Right, he may as well just do that because holding on to that ain't working for him.
We need Caps picks for tonight and goal picks for tonight. Somebody go.
I'm going Caps,
and I'm going with Ovi.
B, Mitch is in.
Dylan Strome.
Caps, Ovi, and McMichael.
White Brian?
Ovi.
Caps and Willie. Willie going to put these fools out of their misery. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program today. Thank you to Robert Mays. Thank you to Neil Greenberg. Thank you to Joe Theismann. Thank you to David Aldridge. And thank you to Steve Wino. Awesome day. Grant and Danny are at the arena, Toby. Grant and Danny live from Capital One Arena. Go check them out. Say hello. Take their popcorn. Busy day, busy night.
Yeah, I tell you, they're not going to fight back.
Busy night. Yo, there's a Twitter discussion. Who would win in a fight, Grant or Barstool Nate? Brian Mitchell answers that tomorrow. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
I got to think about that one tonight.